I do have a couple of things I want to share real quick before I actually kind of break into the message. This week we have so many great people that serve in so many different capacities at Lake Ridge, and we are so grateful for anyone who's choosing to kind of engage in one of the areas of service that's required. So whether it's take up, take down, or set up, or those kind of things, or working in our children's ministry, or whatever, we really do appreciate you when you decide to engage and to kind of get involved. And to be honest with you, it's one of the ways that you will get to know more people at Lake Ridge. I tell people that often, that if you want to meet people at Lake Ridge, you can come and drink coffee. But if you were just doing that just now, you realize that you just had a couple of very surface-level conversations for the most part. And you may walk away and not remember the person's name that you were speaking to. But when you pick up a set of chairs, or when you start rolling cords, or when you start working in children's ministry together, or one of the other areas of service, you come to find yourself actually making connections with people. We get to know each other through that as we work together. And so I just encourage you to think about that maybe there's an area of service that you would like to get involved in. And so now that it's quieted down a little bit, I want to share you something it was hard for this week for one of our families. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to meet Sam and Jay Batista yet. They have been coming to Lake Ridge for some time, and Sam is one of our teachers in children's ministry. She actually teaches the lessons. We have volunteers that go and help, just serve that teacher so that they can teach the lesson, and then we have a couple of teachers, and it's pretty thin, actually, to be honest with you, in that particular age group. And this week, Sam had a pretty serious health issue kind of happen, and I'm not going to get too much into that other than to say the doctors have told her she needs to take 6 weeks to rest. And so you can do the math. That's quite a big deal. And so I want you to pray for her, and if you would like to do something or help the Batistas, she is really literally supposed to rest. And so we are asking people if they would like to contribute. They could contribute by making a meal for them, and that would be just one way that you could help to serve them in terms of making it just easier on her so that she, you know, I make lots of meals at our house, and oh man, it's not fun. I don't like doing that. So I'll be next. After we're done with Sam's meals, we can do it at the DeWalt. So I'm just kidding. But it is one way, hands-on way, that you could do that. And so if you want to do that, you can chat with me. There's about six people in their house right now. There's no allergies or anything like that. So we're just kind of looking for frozen trays and meals and things like that. Okay? So give that some thought if that's one of the ways. And then the other way is that Sam was on to teach several times this over the next little while. And so if you've been wondering, I wonder if one of the areas I could serve might be in children's ministry in the area of teaching kids. Now would be a great time to come and talk to us. And Steph just went off to teach, and right now Steph is the only teacher actually that's teaching that particular age group of people. And so it might be just a way that you could get involved and help out and make some deeper connections with people and also care for Lake Ridge and all of that. Okay? So I'll just leave it at that. Okay? Hey, I'm a little, it's interesting, if you were here a few weeks ago when I preached, I got up and said, you know, I don't feel like I have very much to say. And I sometimes feel like that. Today is not that's not the case today. Yeah, I have a lot to say today, and so actually, more importantly, you have to pray that I don't say everything that I have to say, because it'll get too long. Okay, so my hope is that as I've prepared and thought, and the reason why is because I learned a bunch of things this week. I was kind of moved by some of what I read, and so that's part of why I have to just be careful that I don't talk too long. But now I think it's time to just trust that whatever it is that I have learned this week, whatever it is that comes out of my mouth is a gift to us. That God's leading and direction this week might compel us to see our story and his story in maybe a slightly different light. I want to say some things today that might even seem a little bit harsh. And I'm going to do that because I really want us to grasp the magnitude of this story that was taking place. And it actually wasn't as sweet a story as sometimes we look at it. So before that, I'll start with a declarative statement. Here's a declarative statement for you. I am a man. Okay? This morning, I was choosing my clothes, and I was like, I am wearing plaid because plaid is manly. I'm not going to wear one of those sweaters like Preston wears. I'm wearing plaid, right? Because that's manly, right? I'm just teasing Preston. I told him I was going to make fun of him. Okay, but I am a man. And there are certain things about the ways that men are, right, that are not the same as the way that women are, actually. And we, for some reason, have been taught, and this sounds super sexist, and it is in a way, but it's also a truth of our culture, is that we have been taught, right, that our responsibility as men is to protect, you know, to provide, to do all these things. We provide for our children, and we protect our wives, and that's super important, right? Right? We've been taught that. That's an important thing. Now, could we learn some things about vulnerability and what it looks like to be more vulnerable? Well, absolutely, we could. But I will tell you that when we hang out, one of the things that men don't do, like this is something you don't hear at my house. I don't come home after an evening out with the guys and say to Kristen, you know, oh, it was a beautiful night. You know, Dave opened up and shared some things. We had a chance to disconnect, and it's really deep. We shared some pain, and we talked about it. It was beautiful. I feel so much better. I can't wait for next week. Okay. It's like, it doesn't happen, right? Could we stand for that? Oh, yeah, Dave and I could have a good cry. It would be good for us. But it doesn't happen yet. Okay, to be clear, it has not happened yet. We haven't been taught, actually, to be vulnerable. It's one of the challenges that all men experience, and women too, so don't hear me doing too much of that, but I am saying that it is not something that men have been taught is important and valuable. Yet studies show that if human beings do not learn to be vulnerable with each other, we actually don't connect. There's scientific fact behind that. And so everybody needs to learn, men included, what it means to be vulnerable. Okay, so I want to share two stories of vulnerability. I have quite a few, actually. I find myself often in situations where I'm vulnerable and share things that people could use against me. But I just thought I'd use two quick examples. The first example was on my wedding day. And on my wedding day, I got up in front of a whole bunch of people, some that I knew and some that I didn't know very well. And I said some words that were given to me to say that everybody says at weddings. Okay? And I said those words, and they weren't even hard words to say. You know, 24 years later, I realized, actually, they should have been harder words to say. I should have thought more about what I was saying when I said those things, like, Kristen, I love you. And I promise to pour the whole of me into this relationship. We don't think about how vulnerable that is, but ultimately what I was saying, and I realize this now, was I pour my life, I am going to let you know me. All the aspects of me. Not just the best aspects. All of the aspects. Okay? I'm trying to man this up a little, guys. I'm trying to get too mushy. You know what I'm doing here, okay? All right, so, right. But I allow her into my story. And here's the thing. In doing that, she has something to use against me if she wants. Right? As we open ourselves up, as we allow them to see who we really are, whether it's our spouse or others in our life, there is an opportunity or a chance for them to use that against us and hurt us. Anyone ever had that happen? Right? That's a vulnerable thing that happens, actually, when you get married and when you make a promise like that. That's the first story. The second vulnerable story I thought I would share was actually 23 years ago when my son was born. 20 years ago, sorry, I was 23. And I remember picking him up. I was in the hospital, and I remember picking him up and looking at him, at how vulnerable he was, how weak he was, and all of those things. And to be completely honest with you, I was grateful that he didn't know what I was thinking in that moment. I'd like to say it was this super beautiful thing. I beat him up. Actually, I was so afraid. I was so scared that I didn't know how to be a dad. I was going to ruin him, and I have, you know. But it's like, I was so glad that he didn't know how insecure I was. How afraid I was that I was going to fail him and fail Kristen, and that I didn't even actually know how to pick up a baby. That's like my state of vulnerability. I was in this place that was hard. I was excited, you know, man, you know, all that, because I fathered this child, you know, all that stuff. But internally and in the background was this voice saying, you can't do this. Right? How are you even going to figure out how to make enough money to feed these two people now? Both moments of vulnerability, my wedding and the birth of my first child, I think I had similar feelings with my other children, but it was a little bit different. Both of those moments actually were choices. And both of those choices led me towards a different motive in my life. Think about that. It's in those moments that both of those moments, when simply I lived into a new reality where my whole world, my whole purpose, my whole direction changed. It was no longer just about Evan anymore. Right? That is vulnerable. When we go through those kind of experiences and those kind of changes. And so what's interesting about this morning is, and the theme for Advent is we're talking about vulnerability. Vulnerable. What does it mean to be vulnerable? Vulnerable joy, vulnerable peace today. And what's weird about the topic today is that neither of the stories I shared with you actually were peaceful for me. But they taught me how to experience peace and where true peace really comes from. So I want you to hear that. Okay? So we're going to dig in a little bit into the story. And what's interesting about the biblical story for today, as we talk about vulnerable peace, is that this story is not a peaceful story. But Joseph learns to experience peace. So I thought I would read it. And I am preaching a lot to the guys today, so I want you to hear this, guys. Okay? I'm just going to read the first part of how Joseph finds out that he is a part of the story that God was writing, that he was playing a role in that story. It goes like this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Betrothed would be another word we could use. But before they came together, you guys all know what that means, right? Okay. Good, we don't have to have that talk. Definitely get a longer sermon if we have to have that talk. Okay? Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said some things. Okay? We'll just pause here for a second. Amen. What did you just hear? When you hear that story, men, what did you just hear? You're a man? You're engaged to a woman? You maybe got a future preacher over there. Somebody you invest in. Guys, what did you just hear? Place yourself in Josiah's, that's my other son, in Joseph's shoes, and what did you just hear? She's unfaithful. Right? Here you are. It's time to make some decisions. Okay? Now, just to add to the man factor that's going on this morning, I like to build things. I do. I like to build furniture. I like to build lots of things. And I spend lots of time in my garage. And for me, I started doing that. I used to build some houses and something like that to you know, pay bills. But now I started doing more projects to clear my head. And I realized that I needed to do something with my hands so that I could go into the garage and think, process out some of the things that are going on, so I could just call it garage time. And I do lots of things in there. Some are literally work things, and some of those things are fun things. And I do those things, I spend that time in the garage because it's important for me to clear my head. Was it Diane? Oh. And so I go. I do that because it's important for me to clear my head and to get some thoughts out. And so I find myself talking to myself sometimes. I find myself talking to God. I often find myself praying for lots of you and that we'll know how to kind of go about this whole thing that we're doing here, whatever it's called, Lake Ridge thing. I think a lot about that. And so when I was thinking about Joseph comes from a construction background. Whether, like Preston was talking, whether he was a mason or he was working with wood or whatever it was, he was a guy who worked with his hands. And so I wonder, what did it sound like, Joseph's garage time? You know, what did that sound like when this story starts to unfold? And you know what, as I was playing it through and thinking through what his garage time sounded like, not so beautiful. So I thought I would just play it out for you a little bit. Listen to this. Here's what I think. I think his garage time sounded like this. I cannot believe she has done this to me. I mean, of all the disrespectful things that she could have done, why not just run away? Right? After I've already paid, and we know this contextually, after I've already paid at least half of the bride price for her, so Joseph had money in the game here already. She chooses to do this thing to me. Everyone is going to think I am the one who did this to her. And in that context, in that culture, that was like the most inappropriate thing to do. That he would have slept with her before would have been something so shameful. And then, if that wasn't the case, for him to accept her after she slept with somebody else, that would have shown him to be even more weak than anyone could have imagined. You see where I'm going with this? Joseph would have been embarrassed. This was hard. This was not some beautiful beginning to understanding he was a part of the story of God. And we all come to know and believe in God differently, don't we? We do. It's kind of funny if you take these characters out and this isn't to pick on Mary at all, but Mary actually got something so different. Mary gets this, like, she's doing her chores, whatever they might be. She was probably 13, somewhere in there. So she was doing her chores. So say she's going to get water. We don't know. And a literal angel of the Lord appears in front of her. We don't know exactly what he looked like, but it was obvious that he was an angel of the Lord. Appears before her. Mary, do not be afraid. Right? This is what's going to happen. If you're going to become pregnant, this is what's going to happen. You're going to bear this child. It's going to be God's child. Mary's like, doubting. So she says, how can this be? For I am still a virgin. And he said, well, here's how it's going to be. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. This is okay. So she gets to ask some questions back and forth. And at the end of that dialogue, right, what ends up happening? She says, let it be so as you have said. That's how Mary comes to understand that she is a part of the story of God. Guess how Joseph finds out? By finding out he has a cheating, soon-to-be wife who comes to him, honestly, comes to him with some, there are children here, so I won't say exactly what the story sounded like, but some story that sounds like that. says, yeah, I'm with child, but I was never unfaithful. Like, guys, push yourself here. By the way, it's important that you know that this is all part of what God is doing here. And he's supposed to believe that. Joseph is in an incredibly vulnerable state. Right? And he's being expected to believe her. And so when we read this first part of the text, what jumped out at me was, after he had considered this. That's the line that jumps out at me. Because here's a fact. He is expected to believe her. At this particular point in the story, guess what? He doesn't. He does not believe her. And neither would you. And neither would I. It's like a horrible story for Joseph. Right? Most of us guys, it's probably the worst thing could happen in your relationships and in your life. It exposes you. Right? And that's the state that Joseph is in this particular story. And he's supposed to believe that somehow this is God's story going on. And so he doesn't believe. You've been on social media lately, and I'm just going to take an opportunity to say this. If you've been on social media lately, you've probably seen there's a new campaign kind of going on to talk about the sexual harassment of women. It's called Me Too. Anybody heard of that? It's basically that women have an opportunity to basically raise awareness that they've been sexually harassed in some way, shape, or form by just posting on their social media outlet, hashtag Me Too. I have to tell the story, and the stories are different, right? And different levels and degrees, and so I want to be careful about this, but I also want you to hear this, that it's like, this is about convincing our culture. This is about convincing our men that there is something fundamentally wrong with our society when we can objectify somebody else in these sorts of ways. I'll be honest with you, I saw many of you women here who posted Me Too, and it broke my heart to see that. And I realize it's all different degrees. And I have to tell you that I also, Preston and I have talked about this. How do we help? Honestly, it's so hard to know how to help. I don't know how to help heal. I guess the only thing I could say is that what I would want you to know from me, at least, is that I believe. I believe you. And I don't know how to fix that other than to do my best to acknowledge that these things are real and they happen. Right? I think it's an interesting thing. Some of our world leaders, right, are giving messages that they don't believe that this happens. In this case, here's the little tie-in, right, is that Joseph doesn't believe what Mary says the first time. He needs further convincing. And in this particular story, God gives him what he needs, the further convincing that he needs to understand that he is a part of a great story of God. And so he gets a dream. And the dream, God liked to speak to Joseph in dreams. He gave him three in his life. And each one of those had something for Joseph to do and to respond to, and this one isn't unlike that, okay? And so I thought I'd read just a couple more parts of this, and so I'll pick up at verse 20 and read a couple here. It goes like this. So after he had considered this, so he's decided, I don't believe her, time to divorce her quietly, okay? An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, just got two pages. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Right? She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, what happens in this particular story is that God speaks to Joseph just when Joseph needs to be spoken to, and not before. I think it's important for us to even hear that in our own life and in our own story. See, Joseph, in this little dream here that's taking place now, what he's really finding out is that he is a part of the big story that God was writing. He's included in the big story that God was writing. And he's finding that out in the most vulnerable state that he could be in. I think oftentimes we find ourselves wondering, and when we're in vulnerable states, especially us guys, we're saying, God has left the building. God is nowhere near me. God, I'm not a part of what God is doing. And it's in those moments, just like in Joseph's life, when we have to say, but wait, is that true? And I think what Joseph finds out is that he is a part of the story that God is writing. Finds out in a state of vulnerability, a state of non-peacefulness. It's a state of non-peacefulness. It's stressful. It's anxious filled. And God's speaking to him just at the right time. He's being asked to believe that he's a part of the story of God. He's being asked to believe that this thing that happened to Mary actually happened to Mary. He's being asked to believe Mary too. This isn't just about Joseph believing, right, the angel or the dream. This is about Joseph choosing to believe this human. He's had this story that is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And he's being asked to believe it. I think that I find myself in those stories quite a bit. Sometimes some of the stories I see are just so difficult, so hard, so challenging, so broken, so all of those things. And yet somehow as your pastor, but also for this for you too, that we're required to look at the story and say, okay, but what possibly could God be doing here in this thing? And there are moments when we see that ugly part of our own story or the stories of those around us, and we say, oh, God is void of this situation. He's not here. Right? And then there are other moments when we see this messy, difficult thing, and we're saying, no, I choose to believe that God is doing something here. Right? You hear what I say? Choose to believe. Choices. This is not about some mystical magic wand that gets waved over Joseph's head in a dream and he gets poof, you know, instant faith. This is a dream that Joseph has to choose to believe is real. And then it affects every part of his life and story going forward. It changes everything for Joseph. To choose to live into this story was not to choose to be famous until today. He believes this story, but no one else, remember, no one else in his community heard this story. No one else got a dream. Everyone else saw two young people who could not control their sexual desires and gave in to them. That's what the community saw. Harsh, right? That's what they saw. And in our context, that, you know, that's something, well, whoa, that's too bad that happened. In their context, that is grounds for, like, removal from the community. Right? We do know that in Joseph's shop time, he could have actually decided to have Mary stoned. That was the practice of the day. All right, so he gets this dream, and I think it's important for us because I'm trying to help us to see this thing that it's like, Jesus, God with us, is sometimes so difficult to believe, right, that we need further convincing. But if you are waiting for your belief to just happen, it's not going to. You choose to believe. You choose to live into the stories, the scripture. We choose to believe that Mary was a virgin. It's a choice. That's where belief comes from. Hey, we choose to believe. It's a crazy story. It's a crazy story. I really want you to hear that. This is not a believable story. Simple as that. It's not a believable story. Here we are, y'all here. And our faith is based upon this. This is one of the primary stories our faith is based on. So, we choose to believe. We choose to live into this story. Joseph chooses to believe that the dream was real. Have you ever thought about that? What if he was like, okay, I believe God's doing something here. Okay, so she wasn't unfaithful. That she conceived this child, the Holy Spirit did this, and I even believe the dream. I'm just not going to be a part of the story. You ever thought of that? He could have done that. He'd just be like, yeah, nah. Right? Just think about that. So this is an interesting thing that he does choose to live into this story. And it's not a fame and fortune story. It is not a fame and fortune story. And I do think that our faith, our understanding of what happens in this particular story is changed because Joseph is in it, because Mary is in it, because the characters that are present are in it, and they're choosing to believe and to be faithful to this, to being a part, carrying on a specific role in the big story of God. That is not different for us today. Yeah. Maybe. But there's a rebuttal to that. And the rebuttal is, what happens when he asks you to be a part of the story of God? Will we choose to believe that you are a part of the story of God and lean into that? When it's not popular, and when you're going to stick out. And so when Joseph chooses to live into this particular story, he chooses to live into a story where the entire culture, his entire community, would have seen him negatively, poorly. Right? Where they would act and talk like they didn't believe him and Mary. And they would do that their whole life. They choose to live into a story that was not popular or exciting, actually. It was painful. It was isolating. It was all of those things. Isn't that interesting? But we read it like, oh, it's so beautiful. Sometimes being a part of the story of God and what God is doing is not beautiful. Sometimes we enter it in these wonderful ways where an actual angel of the Lord shows up and answers all our questions so that we can believe. And other times we enter it in the midst of pain and suffering and vulnerability and embarrassment, shame, and all the pain and suffering that we've all experienced at different times in our story. And that's our starting point. And that was the case for Joseph. Joseph still had a choice to choose to believe, to live into the story, and I sometimes want us to think about that. What does it mean for you and I to choose to live into this story? To do our best to pay attention so that we recognize when God is inviting us to do something specific that may not be popular, and may not even be easy to believe, but yet he's asking us to do that anyways. And there was great rewards that came with this. It's pretty awesome. But there was also a lot of difficult things, and the story of a promiscuous young couple is the story that actually Joseph and Mary lived out for the rest of their lives and their days. And Joseph was asked to raise an illegitimate child. Yeah. We've come to believe that was Jesus, and Jesus has changed the world. But let's not take the human side of what was going on in this story out. This couple was in an incredibly vulnerable state. And it was in the choosing to live into this story, to believe the dream, right? To take on the responsibilities that Joseph begins to experience peace. Even our kids think I'm going too long. This is where peace comes for Joseph. Choosing to believe that he and you and I are a part of the story that God is writing. And even when it's difficult to believe, that we might live into it anyways. Because it is in the trusting that God is doing the unseen thing that true inner peace comes from. So the story itself was not peaceful. That's something we read and imagine. But peace is experienced in the choosing to trust that God has included you and I in this great, big, grand story. You and I are a part of this story. And here's the best news, and I'll end with this. The story is all based around the human, the person, the God of Jesus. And guess what his name was? Emmanuel, which means God with us. A big story is not void from God. God's present with us. You and I, and God, vulnerably trying to move forward. You with me? It's a challenging story. I was challenged by it. I don't know if I could have done what Joseph did. Okay? Guys, you can just imagine that yourself. Just imagine your, whoever it is you're married to right now, just imagine that. This happened, and you're supposed to believe. Just believe. Guys, anybody willing to go forward with this? Because if you are, I'd like to get together on Saturday night. We're going to talk about some more pains and hurts. Connect. Real life story. Real life people. Real life God. Doing real life things. Amen. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for the ways in which you interact with us in our stories. Thank you that there are moments when we get such clear, awesome, beautiful words from you like Mary did that day. Thank you for her willingness to trust. That must have been hard as well. Thank you also that you enter into our stories in different ways like you did in Joseph's story. You are getting his attention and preparing him so that he might be able to hear and understand his role in the great story you were writing. God, regardless of which one we most resonate with today in this place, help us to believe, to choose, to live into this story so we might be shaped and changed, no matter what comes with that. Be with us this Christmas. Might we experience you in a new way. Challenge us to be vulnerable not only with ourselves, but with those around us and with you, God. Take us as a community into deeper places with each other, we ask. We ask this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you stand and receive the benediction? So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. As you go from this place, trusting, you are a part of the grand story God is writing. Amen. Have a great week.